98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Not inside the Auction Community Studios today. Instead, we are at Total Wine. Gambo was absolutely right. He walked in and he said, "Burnsy, this is your kind of place.
Your kind of store right here,
brother." You could not be more correct. If you were paid to be more correct, this is absolutely my kind of store. I'm very at home in Total Wine. 16th Street and Camelback is where we're at today. We're here with our friends from Coors Light. We've got a big display at the front of the store. Waste Management Phoenix Open is coming up, and it's real simple. Pick up your Coors Light, and then once you do, you can enter to win silver seat passes at the Waste Management Phoenix Open by texting CHILL to 620-620, but you have to pick up Coors Light before you do it, and then it's your opportunity to experience the Phoenix Open from the silver seats. Very cool opportunity, very unique opportunity. Of course, it's one of the premier sporting events in the Valley every calendar year, and Coors Light's the official beer of the Waste Management Phoenix Open, so they want to hook you up. So come by and see us here at Total Wine. Pick up some Coors Light, then you can enter to win by texting CHILL to 620-620. We've got a bunch of great reasons for you to come in here as well, and we'll let you know those over the course of the day. But Gambo, I do want to talk to you because I know a memory was stirred last night. I was watching the game on Fox Sports Arizona. Joanne Fitzsimmons, the widow of the late Cotton Fitzsimmons.
Yes, love Joanne Fitzsimmons.
Gave you and they mentioned her name on the broadcast last night. I'm like, that reminds me, did you get your gift from Joanne?
I did. Joanne Cotton had a collection of original master recordings from Frank Sinatra. It was a gift box, and you know, for a few years, like Joanne knows that I love, you know, Frank Sinatra, and you know, for a few years she's been trying to give it to me, and I keep saying like, no, I don't want to take this. I mean, this is Cotton's Frank Sinatra collection. I mean, I feel bad. I don't want to take this collection. And she was telling me last night that she was you know when Cotton was the last few days she was playing these albums for him, but she was very insistent that she wanted somebody to have this collection of Frank Sinatra albums who would appreciate it. And so I decided to take the albums.
Sure, as well you should.
And I love Joanne Fitzsimmons. I always have. She's an awesome woman. She's a great person. Her and Chelsea are going to go to a game together. Chelsea's going to see, you know, she invited Chelsea to go sit with her for a game. But yeah, so I, you know, for years I've been very kind of reluctant to take the album set, but last night I took the Frank Sinatra album set.
I'll loan you my record player. Oof. You can start enjoying it. We've had this conversation 1,000 times. We'll make it 1,001. I don't get Frank Sinatra. I mean, it's not that I don't like him. I just don't get why everybody loves him so much. But if somebody offered me original master recordings of Frank Sinatra, I would take them. And I don't really like Frank Sinatra that much.
Very reluctant because this was so near and dear to Cotton's heart. But she wanted somebody who loved it and would appreciate it the way Cotton did. So I saw Joanne last night and I got the original master recordings from Sinatra.
Well, hopefully listening to Old Blue Eyes got Gambo in a good mood, because after last night, are the paramedics on standby? Is the defibrillator charged?
Well, I have to watch in last night's game. You probably felt you wanted somebody to fly you to the moon.
Let's weigh in on the top story of the day and hope Gambo doesn't die here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
While we all have 911 on speed dial, ready to go, just in case.
I've got you under my skin. That's what the Suns had last night.
That's
strangers in the night. Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
That's way in.
Young at heart. Yeah, you need to be young at heart to watch the Suns these days.
Let's weigh in on the top story. As the Phoenix Suns lose to the Kings, 114-103. Somebody made the point on Twitter that these things always seem to happen when we're doing our show live from a very public place. The 28-5 obviously happened at a grocery store. So I have no idea. I know you went on the postgame show last night with Bloomer because you were at the arena. I'm going to pull the pin on the Gambo grenade, and I'm going to step away for a few minutes.
I'm not going to have a heart attack.
You're not going
to. I mean, I can't do this. You know, more than once or twice a year, I literally will have a heart attack if I go ballistic on, you know, the Phoenix Suns again last night. They blew a 21-point lead at home in the third quarter. to the Sacramento Kings, who were playing without like three of their key players. Bogdan Bogdanovich wasn't playing. Marvin Bagley wasn't playing. Rashawn Holmes wasn't playing. They had Dwayne Dedman at center, and they didn't want to pass the ball to DeAndre Ayton. I love Kelly Oubre, but Kelly, the next pass you make will be the first pass you've made. I love you. You're a great player. The next pass you make, Kelly Oubre, will be the first. Devin Booker, why do you always look for Kelly? Do you got like a deal, like instead of DeAndre, like a 21-point lead at home to the Sacramento Kings? I was so upset I went on the post-game show with John Bloom afterwards. I'm walking out. I'm like, I can't wait till tomorrow. Ed's sitting there, and Ed gives me the headphones. I jump on with Bloomer. I'm like, I mean, how do you lose that game? Look, I know they're not good, but a 21-point lead at home to a Sacramento team that didn't have Bogdanovich, didn't have Bagley, didn't have Rashawn Holmes, and was playing dead man walking at center. That's who he is, dead man walking. He shoots a couple of threes. He should be a guy that gets 10 minutes a game. He played 31 minutes last night and owned the Suns. Trevor Ariza, that bum who we hate, he was the catalyst for the big comeback for Sacramento. Trevor Ariza. I mean, my God. Is it like is there something about not being able to put the ball in the post? Like, are you allergic to it when you can't throw the ball inside? You've got to take every outside shot. They lost at home with a 21-point lead to Sacramento. I mean, I needed to take a shower when I got home. It was so, I felt filthy. Usually I just jump in the jacuzzi or the pool. My wife says, why are you in the shower? I was at the Suns game last night. I need to get clean. She goes, you usually just jump in the pool or the jacuzzi. I go, I need soap. I need real soap. Body wash. After that.
Disinfectant.
Jeez, yes.
Antibacterial.
Yeah, my deodorant didn't work last night. It didn't.
So wait, I have a question. Are you done? Can I just ask a question real quick?
Oh my God. Yeah, go ahead.
Is this calm Gambo?
Yes.
This is calm and in control Gambo?
We're wondering the same thing back in the studio, by the way.
Seriously, because I just, Sarah, did we just not get the lecture about, I'm going to be calm.
I'm not going to rant.
I'm not
going to be fine.
I'm not going to die.
And somebody asked
that for 5 minutes. What the?
Seriously.
911.
I had somebody ask me on Twitter last night. What DeAndre Ayton had 9 rebounds at like halftime. How come he didn't get any rebounds in the fourth quarter? Because they didn't miss a shot. How do you grab a rebound on a team that doesn't miss a basket? Like, how come DeAndre didn't get more rebounds? Why? Did you watch Sacramento? Every shot they took went in. How are you going to grab a rebound? Shot, basket. Shot, basket. Shot, basket. Shot, basket. They went, why didn't Ayton have more rebounds? They didn't miss. Did you see the last quarter and a half of that game? My God. That's the worst loss that we've seen in years. That's the worst loss.
In years?
They were at home. They were up by 21 at home.
Do you remember how they started Earl Watson?
Can somebody get me some limoncello?
You can take limoncello shots on the air?
It's a bottle of limoncello. You in the white. You. Bottle of limoncello. Please, I need it now.
It's
one of the few things I'll drink.
It's not a bar, Gambo. They sell alcohol, but it's not a bar.
Where are you going?
It's about to be.
It's about to be.
I was at the Suns game last night. I ate a bottle of limoncello. I'm going to drink it on air.
What a classy, angry drink.
I know, right?
Truly.
Serious. I mean, Sarah, if you've had a bad day at work and you need, I really need a stiff drink, is limoncello the first thing that pops into your mind or the last thing that pops into your mind?
It's definitely the last.
Yeah, it's pretty way down on my depth chart, too. That's a very interesting I need a drink.
Where's Andrew, the store manager? Andrew! Give me the best Italian limoncello you got, Andrew. Manager here at Total Wine.
That's pretty lightweight right there. I'm telling you, I don't know. You got.
I'm a lightweight. If I drink, if I have a sip of it, I'll be drunk.
I mean, we're right here in front of the brandy and the cognac. And are you sure you don't want that? That might have a little more hair on it.
I drank limoncello at my wedding in Lake Como. I could have a little limoncello.
I will agree with you. It was clearly the worst loss of the year. The worst loss of the last few years, man. I don't know the way they started. started that season, the way they started that season when Earl Watson got fired.
They lost by 50 in like three straight games. They had to fire the head coach after three games.
They were up by 21 in the late third quarter.
I'll give you, it was the worst.
To the Kings, they didn't have any of the players.
But not in years. Not in years. You're forgetting. You're conveniently forgetting how bad things have been around here.
Bogdan Bogdanovic, not there. Marvin Bagley, not there. Rashawn Holmes, they had nobody.
They fired the coach after three games. The star point guard was at a hair salon and tweeted, "I don't want to be here anymore." That was worse than this. This was bad. This is more recent in our memories, but that was worse than this. They fired the coach after three games.
That is a really fair question, because I can make an argument that but a 32-point turnaround in a quarter and a half might be worse than losing by 50.
Definitely the worst of the year. 52-20 was what the Kings outscored the Suns from that moment when they were up 83-62.
Why didn't DeAndre grab a rebound? They scored every time he had the ball.
I love playing this soundbite. Here's Tom Chambers, the TV post-game interview. I saw this as he was saying this, and I thought, man, I hope I have that soundbite available tomorrow, because Tom Chambers just, he didn't quite lose his mind like you did, but he took the team to task.
No, it's going
to
leave a mark. I mean, this is one they're going to be talking about for a long time. It was just, I mean, you lose by 20 points in the fourth quarter. You couldn't score the basketball. You couldn't get a stop. And Fox looked like an all-star. I mean, he just looked like he was just a man amongst boys out there. So this Suns team's got a lot of soul-searching to do right now and how they can play. The sad part is they looked so good in that third quarter. And did they just like, okay, well, this is going to be easy. They're going to quit, and we can just coast from now on, take our foot off the gas. That's what they did, and that's when this Kings team stepped it up.
I like to see you on that Fox Sports postgame show.
So people
can see what I see every day.
I don't think they would.
The visual of your eyes bulging out and your veins and your neck.
Bloomer was going off last night, right, Ed? Ed Bloomer was going off. I mean, it was just, I mean, he walked out of that building like, what the hell? And he heard, listen to the crowd. I mean, I think the crowd's become oblivious to this. They just like, all right, time to leave. Like, where's the angry crowd? The mad crowd.
The angry crowd, man. They checked out a long time ago. Yeah,
That sucked.
Yeah,
sucked.
So when we come back on the Burns and Gambo, you feel better? Feel good? You ready to do the show now? Y'all loose?
Hold on.
You got the pills?
Yeah, I got it. Right.
Just be careful with pills plus limoncello.
Yeah.
Slow that roll a little bit.
That's bad. 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, my co-host watched the Suns game last night.
Listen, I'm going to implore these teams. Play better or you're going to kill me. Like, hey, please. I swear to God, start to play better or you're going to kill me.
Sarah, can you imagine the post-game, the pre-game locker room speech for Monty Williams? Hey, guys. We're going to play this one for Gambo tonight, because if we don't play well, he's going
to
die.
I'm going to have a heart attack.
Blood
if
will
you guys
be on your
don't
hands.
Start playing better.
Gambo's blood will be on your hands if you don't win tonight's game. That is a hell of a pregame speech right
there. Where's my limoncello?
Nothing else is working right now.
I know, right?
It's worth a shot.
See if it works. So, after last night's disappointing loss, the Suns are at the lowest point of their season. Of that, we will definitely disagree. Here's a loaded question. What's the main issue with this team? We'll see if we can answer that in 10 minutes next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Can somebody get me some limoncello? It's a bottle of limoncello. You in the white. Bottle of limoncello. I was at the Suns game last night. I ate a bottle of limoncello. I'm going to drink it on air.
Yeah, they put pressure on us. We turned the ball over a few times. They start denying Devin, and we don't counter that well enough, but... You know, it's something that has plagued us. We play two or three quarters well, and then we have that lull, and then we just get a bit deflated, and we can't bounce back. So, this is our heart. We've got to figure out how to get through those moments.
I can't quit you, baby, so I'm going to put you down for a while. I said, I can't quit you, baby. I don't know why this song just struck me as funny. This is the one you're playing. 114-103. Suns lose to the Sacramento Kings. Oh, if only that told the story. If only that were it. If only they lost to the Sacramento Kings 114-103. Yeah, it was another bad game. It was, you know, this.
Yeah, we still have 3 hours and 45 minutes left on the show.
No, I'm just saying if it was like a garden variety, typical average, ho-hum, middle of January loss, right? But instead, this loss had so many things about... I was never going to turn it off.
But I was thinking to myself how nice it was going to be to come in here and be able to talk about a nice, comfortable Suns
yesterday,
win.
And I agreed with you. I didn't say it at the time, but you said yesterday that you expected that they were going to, follow Monty's lead and take it to Sacramento.
I thought they were going to win comfortably.
You did.
I thought they were
going to whoop their ass.
They were whooping their ass. They were breezing on in. They were. Maybe that was the problem. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is, but that was Monty Williams after the game. What is the problem? What's the problem? Where do you even want to begin?
Where do you want to start?
Okay.
There's a lot of problems going on right now. I mean, obviously, let's start with Monty, okay? I mean, Monty's been the coach of this team for four months now, and it's going to take time, and Rome wasn't built in a day, and I get all that stuff, but they're going backwards.
Yes.
Okay? They're playing like one of the worst teams in the league. They're playing like these teams that we've watched win 18 and 20 games. So it starts with Monty. The Baines-Aiden thing, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. It wasn't a good idea. You're not getting anything out of your bench. So, I mean, we'll start with Monty, because Monty got a 5-year contract, and he's expected to change the culture, and I get that it takes time, and I'm not saying you fire Monty, because that'd be stupid. Monty's a good coach. It's just this team is not responding to what Monty is coaching. They're not responding.
This is Monty after the game. I played the one soundbite on what Sacramento did. He talked about his team and pace and ball movement and how they couldn't sustain what they were doing.
Couldn't sustain. You know, this is our hard right now. The ability to, you know, get to a level and keep it there. And their bench, if you look at their bench, they just came in and did a job on us. But that's on me to get our guys to the point where we can sustain momentum for 48 minutes. We just didn't do it well tonight.
I agree with you. It's time to pull the plug on this Baiton. I did what Sarah did right there. This Aiton Baines thing.
It's a thing.
No, it's not. It's not a thing. It needs to not be a thing.
Bibbidi bibbidi.
Starting on Friday night, it needs to become an unthing. We need to undo the thing because the thing. First of all, it's not. The bench has become, Dario Saric has become lost in all of this, and he wasn't playing that poorly. Not so much that he needs to be minimized the way he has. The bench got absolutely shamed last night. What was it, 42-18? There were three guys on the bench that were, what, plus 30 for the Sacramento Kings?
Yes.
Right? Ariza was one of them. Corey Joseph was one of them. Deadman was another. They're plus 30, three guys coming off the bench. It's absurd. So, no. You need Baines back in that second lineup, back to anchor that second lineup. I don't know. And once again,
Deadman 12, Ariza 15, Corey Joseph had 10 off the bench. I mean, they had four guys that had 42 points off the bench.
Yep.
And the Phoenix Suns bench gave you Stu a Gotts.
They did.
Yeah. Stu played, and he was a minus 9, and Gotts played, and he was a minus 9. That's what you got.
So that needs to happen. DeAndre Ayton, whether it's his teammates not getting him involved or him kind of shutting down in the second half, needs to be more. The first half
came out in the first quarter.
Was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
And then they decide, listen, I'm telling you, here's what's wrong. This team, and people get on eight. And we talked about this yesterday. You know how many times I threw the ball in the post to him last night? Like three. Three. They don't get the ball. They don't pass the ball to Ayton. Everybody wants, DeAndre's, why is he not playing well? He's not involved. Like, they don't get him involved. Booker looks for Oubre. Oubre looks for himself. Nobody's getting the ball to, I mean, you've got Dwayne Deadman walking, covering him on the inside. He could have gone for 50 last night if they would have gave the ball to Ayton all day long, but they don't. They go away for him for 5 and 6 minute stretches. This is the truth, and nobody wants to admit it, but if I watched the game, exclusively for that reason last night. Are they getting the ball to Ayton in the low post? The answer is no. Are they looking to get the ball to Ayton in transition? The answer is no. Are they looking to get the ball to Ayton at all? The answer is no. He'll take a couple of 17-foot shots, and he'll score on putbacks and offensive rebounds and stuff, but did they actually look to pound the other team inside, get the other team in foul trouble? No, they don't do that.
Now, I think with all due respect that there was a passivity to DeAndre Ayton's game in the second half last night. I do think, especially that moment when he got taken out of the game, right? I think the tough love
to block out
might have gotten inside DeAndre Ayton's head a little bit, because I don't think he's ever really had the tough love thing ever in his entire basketball career. And I think that might have caused the softness to get into his game. I thought he was passive in the second half. I thought he was not. He did not. I agree with you. They have to work harder to incorporate him like they were clearly trying to do in the first half. But I do think there is a measure of responsibility from DeAndre Ayton in this, too, where he plays. He played so passively in the second half of that game last night.
And there are 5 and 6 minute stretches where he doesn't even touch the ball.
So he has no responsibility
I'm saying that there's got to be more of a sacrifice from Booker and Oubre and everybody else to get him more involved. I mean, it's almost like, again, a boxing analogy. You know, we always talk, go to the body early, go to the head late. Going to the body early is going to Ayton. If Ayton will soften everything up for everybody else. If you pound the ball inside to Ayton and he starts dominating, you're going to bring weak side help over. Everybody's going to be leaning to try and help Dwayne Dedman against him because he can't cover him, and that's going to free up guys for open shots. It's like the boxing analogy. Go to the body early, and then you go to the head late, and you start knocking down jump shots, because at the end of the game, Sacramento won that game because of their perimeter defense. Yeah, that's how they won the game.
I half agree with you. I do think he played awfully passively in the second half of that game last night. I really do. So after the game, again, here is Monty Williams, and he's talking about adhering to the game plan offensively. Here's what he said.
I think since Christmas, our offense has been rated 23rd. So that puts us in the bottom third of the league. That's not something we've done this year. We've been a top 10 offense all year. So we have to adhere to that part of our game plan, you know, as far as moving the ball.
Next chance for the Suns to fix this will be on Friday night against the Orlando Magic. They've got a couple days off to figure. Booker and Oubre, by the way, left the locker room without.
Did not speak to the media last night.
You
know what? I don't respect that. Take your medicine. I mean, that's it. I mean, through the good and the bad. I mean, speak and speak your mind. Let people hear what you have to say.
This note from Kellen Olson on Twitter. No Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton talking after the game last night or after practice today. Kellen Olson just tweeted that about 3 minutes ago.
And what good does that do?
No Devin Booker, no DeAndre Ayton after practice today.
What good does this do?
Are they afraid of what they're going to say?
I mean, this is the low point of the season right now.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Okay, this is the low point. I don't know if they've hit rock bottom. This is the low point. It could get worse.
Yeah. It was one of the major issues for the Cardinals this last season. The plan to fix the defensive line. What does it look like? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah, I'll have you know this is the power of John Gambadoro. We're here at Total Wine, 16th Street in Camelback. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bottles of limoncello are now sitting on our table.
Kidding.
I even asked for the limoncello cream, and I got the limoncello cream. Somebody get me some limoncello?
This is what we served at our wedding.
I'm telling you.
We served limoncello at our wedding.
Gambo, you are walking, living, breathing proof that squeaky wheels get grease, man. Mm-hmm. It's a bottle of limoncello. You in the white. Bottle of limoncello.
You know what? Guy in the white showed up with not one, not two, not three, 6 bottles of limoncello.
Yes.
I yell at the guy in the white to bring bottles of limoncello. He gives me the bird.
Total Wine.
Gets 6 bottles of limoncello.
Camelback in 16th Street. Come on in.
Yeah, come
Total
on
Total Wine.
Yell.
I was at the Suns game last night. I ate a bottle of limoncello.
Just clap at them.
Get you a bottle of limoncello right here.
Exactly.
I'm going to drink it on air.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Squeaky wheels.
They do samples
grease
here at Total Wine, just so you know.
They do
samples.
The lesson of life right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Just squeaky wheels getting the grease.
I literally just tried to call my cousin Francesco in Milan to see which brand he likes the best.
Well, you've got 6 of them here to choose from.
6
so
to choose from.
What you want.
Can somebody get me some limoncello?
They actually poured us a shot, and we're not allowed to drink it.
It's sitting here teasing us right now.
Yeah.
We smelled it.
Yeah. But
yeah.
We can't. So come on down, Sarah. We're apparently doing limoncello after the show.
You
come on down.
Come on down.
It's on my
6
way home.
O'clock, we'll all do limoncello
shots. Yeah, Jordan,
shots.
Come on down, and the two of you come on down, and the four of us, along with Ed Cole. We'll
anybody who watched the Suns game last night, we'll do a limoncello shot at 6:01.
No, seriously, don't say that.
Anybody who lost their mind watching the game.
We'll have 3,000 people at this total wine, which is great. But let's
6 bottles, 6:01, we'll do a limoncello shot for you having to watch them lose that game last night.
Sarah?
Yes.
What's the poll question today?
Well, I hate to make you think a little bit more about the Suns game, but here's a poll for you about the Suns. Like you mentioned, they hit a season low last night. They blew a 21-point lead to the Kings at home, lose the game. What seems to be the Suns' issue lately? I've got 4 options for you to pick from, though I'm sure there are many more that you could imagine.
Infinite options at this point.
Yes, but Twitter only allows us to put 4. So the options are reintegrating DeAndre Ayton, inconsistent rotations, a lack of talent on the roster, or coaching.
This team's going to drive me to drink. I don't drink. They're going to drive me to drink.
I don't know if I can pick one. You know what, Sarah? Tell me what the results are so far. I can't even choose one. Okay. I'm all tongue-tied here. I don't know.
Very evenly split for first and second place. Gambo, do you want to give it a shot, or you want me to just give you the responses first?
Lack of talent.
Lack of talent. Okay.
Is my vote.
And
lack of talent.
With 39% of our voters, lack of talent. That is what leads right now in our voting on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. 39% say lack of talent. 36% point to inconsistent rotations. 19% point to reintegrating DeAndre Ayton. And only 7% say it's the coaching, which is a fresh change of pace, I think, from the last couple of years.
It's they've got the right coach. It's just, there's just not enough good basketball players, apparently, on this team, which is a real shame considering how they started the season.
Monty's got to do a better job, too. I mean, you know, Monty's been paid a lot of money for 5 years to get this thing turned around. I'm not expecting it to be done overnight, but I don't want this team taking steps backwards like they are right now.
Yeah, they're taking giant steps backwards.
Yes.
We'll talk more about the Suns coming up in a little bit. In the meantime, that's the poll question, by the way. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where it's at on Twitter. In our continuing look at the Arizona Cardinals and what they're going to do this offseason. And I know for the second straight day, we're kind of mirroring what we both read on the Athletic website, and Scott Bordeaux, their columnist, writer, who covers the Arizona Cardinals, took a good hard look at the defensive line and some of the players. And this is something we spoke about yesterday, and I know there were a couple of names you had mentioned last week when I was gone on vacation. Eric Armstead, Chris Jones, the two that come to mind, the defensive linemen with the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, respectively. We both agreed that if there are dollars to spend by the Cardinals this offseason, it seems wise that once you keep your own guys, you're going to spend them on the defense,
yes,
right? You've got needs to fill there, and you've got some dollars to spend. Maybe not as many as you think, and we'll talk about that in a second. But who specifically gets those dollars? And more importantly, who's even going to be available for you to give those dollars to? I think that's really the question.
Yeah, and that's why we've decided that every single day we're going to tackle one main topic for the Arizona Cardinals. Last week, you were out. We did the DJ Humphreys. What's it going to cost? How much are they willing to pay him? How many years? How much money? We did which unrestricted free agents are not going to come back. Yesterday, we did the Buda Baker contract. What will it look like? A new 4-year deal for how much? We did that. Today, we're going to do free agent defensive linemen. And I'm going to give you a list of five defensive linemen that the Arizona Cardinals are expected to look at and sign one of these guys to help on a defensive line. I'm going to give you a list of 5 guys. We mentioned Eric Armstead yesterday. Now, I think that he is going to be difficult to get because I think he probably, you know, goes back to San Francisco. I think I'd be surprised if they let him out. So I'm going to give you 5 others, okay? And here's where we're going to start. Chris Jones with Kansas City. I don't think he leaves Kansas City either, but that's a name that is definitely high on their list of free agents that they want to look at. Derek Wolfe from the Denver Broncos. is another player that I'm fully expecting that they will look at the Arizona Cardinals. Good player, coming off a four-year, $36 million deal. He had a career high in sacks in only 12 games last year. So that's another player they're going to look at. Adam Gotsis, he is another player from the Denver Broncos. Second-round pick out of Georgia Tech. He started 28 games. He won't cost a lot of money. He'll be on the cheap end, but that's a guy I expect that they're going to look at. Another one is David Onyemata. David Onyemata is a New Orleans Saints player. He was a fourth-round pick. He missed one game last year for suspension, but he's played in all but one game in his career. He started 15 games. He had 11 quarterback hits last year. So David Onyemata. And then the last one is Michael Brockers from the Rams. He wants to go back there, and they want him back. He got hurt in the Cardinal game. He hurt his ankle. But he's a really good football player. So Brockers, Onyemata, Wolf, Gostis, and Chris Jones are the five main guys. Armstead's in there as well. I just don't know that he's going to be available. But those are the five guys that I believe the Cardinals are going to target.
There are two questions when it comes to how the Cardinals are going to go about doing this. Question number one is just a simple one of availability. A guy like Eric Armstead, a guy like Chris Jones, and whether their teams allow them to be available. Even a guy like Derek Wolfe, there's a question, is a guy like that going to be available? Even the Saints player Onyani that you'd mentioned, there's a question about how much of a priority will he be for the Saints to re-sign. And so you have to, any free agent list you look at now in the NFL, you have to understand, when you're looking at it as a fan, when you're looking at it the way we do, any list right now, it's almost unfair because half the list is not going to be available when free agency
Robert
even opens
Quinn,
up.
Everson Griffin, or other names that are good names, but you just don't know which of those guys is going to be available. I mean, I could extend it to seven guys by adding Robert Quinn and Everson Griffin, but I just don't know which one of those guys is going to be available. But all of those guys, all of them are worth looking at for the Arizona Cardinals to come fix some of the issues they have on a defensive
line. And
that's
why I wanted to expand the list a little bit, because I do think there are guys that we have to put question marks by that we have, because I think to a certain extent, outside of Gostis, I kind of feel like all these guys, there are questions about whether their team is going to want to keep them. Maybe not Derek Wolf as much, but I think there are questions about certainly Chris Jones and whether he's even going to hit it. With the Saints, I know they've got a lot of this. They don't have a single quarterback under contract.
They only
for
have $5 million in cap space. So now they only have $5 million in cap space. They can get to $20-25 million easily with a couple of moves. But right now, that's a team that has less than $5 million in cap space at this time.
Yeah. So there's that to consider. And then the other thing to consider is just of the disposable income the Cardinals have left, assuming they bring back Fitz, assuming, and they wrote about this on revengeofthebirds.com today, assuming they bring back Drake, assuming they bring back a lot of their guys that we know they want to bring back, DJ Humphries, AQ Shipley, how much do they have left? And do they try to split it up among three or four guys, or do they try to go splash and sign one guy? Because a guy like Chris Jones, if they want, he's going to be expensive.
And that's going to take all your money.
And that's going to take a lot of your money. So you have to choose, if you're Steve Keim, do I want to spread it out a little here, a little here, a little there, and bring in lesser impact players, or do I want to go get one big guy?
And Adam Gostis is not going to cost you much money
at all.
That's
what I mean.
He's second round pick from Georgia Tech, and then he's had 28 starts. He's a good containment guy. He doesn't penetrate at all, but he's a guy that you can literally get for just a couple million bucks.
Yeah, we knew it was an area the Diamondbacks were looking to add to. That's exactly what they did today. The question is, did he just take Archie Bradley's job? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show. Happy Wednesday to you. We're live from the Total Wine, 16th Street and Camelback. We are here, even though we've got limoncello all over the table because Gambo demanded it after the Suns game last night. We are here.
They're driving me to drink this thing.
Absolutely. We're here with our friends from Coors Light because coming up in just a few weeks, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Pick up Coors Light. We've got a huge display here at the store. And then you can enter to win tickets in the Silver Seats section. Cool VIP Phoenix Open experience that you can only get from Coors Light. Pick up Coors Light, and then you can enter to win once you've done that by texting CHILL to 620-620. So if you love going to the Open, and you've always wanted to go to the Open in style, Come by and see us here. Total Wine, 16th Street and Camelback. We'll be here until 6. Pick up your Coors Light and then enter to win again by texting CHILL to 620-620 once you've picked it up. And you could be good to go to be out at the Phoenix Open. Diamondbacks made a roster move today. And at first, I thought, okay, they added a bullpen guy. And we knew they were going to add another bullpen guy. We were kind of thinking they were going to. Hector Rondon, who, of course, made his name with the Chicago Cubs. He spent the last couple of years with the Houston Astros. He's going to turn 32 in a month. He's guaranteed $3 million. He still has a pretty lively fastball, mid-upper 90s. He's got a good slider as well. ERA sitting about 3.5-4 in 62 games last year with the Houston Astros. Good power arm to round out Mike Hazen and Troy Lavella's bullpen.
Yeah, I talked to the Astros just a short time ago to see, you know, because they had him to get the scouting report. So what the Astros told me is he's got a great arm. He could have flashes of dominance. The velocity is high end, but he doesn't miss bats a ton. But he'll be solid for the D-backs. Slider comes and goes, which is why you see the hit total the way it is. But he's reliable with some moxie. So that's the scouting report I got from the Astros. I just got this. So I said, hey, what are the D-backs getting in Rondon? And that's the answer that I got back on Rondon. Great arm, can have flashes of dominance, velocity's high end, doesn't miss bats a ton, will be solid for them. Slider comes and goes, which is why you see the hit total, but he'll be reliable and he comes with some moxie. So that's the scouting report on Rondon. And I told you last week that the Diamondbacks were still looking to add one bullpen arm. Now they're done.
Here is why I teased it the way I teased it. John Heyman, it's a 2-year deal with an option for the second, right? The 2021 option escalates from $4 million to $5 million depending on games
saved
finished by Rendon.
Yeah.
Now, that's one of those clauses that kind of raised my eyebrow a little bit. And if I were Archie Bradley, might raise my eyebrow a little bit too. He's got a clause in his contract for games finished.
Well, I mean, I would put that in there.
An increase in salary for games finished.
Yeah, I mean, just in case. I mean, I think you put that in there as a, you know, just in case they try Archie and Archie fails, and now you put Rondon in, and all of a sudden now he's the closer. You're like, wait, I'm paying him as a seventh inning guy, and now he's, you know, now he's closing baseball games. I think that's just a smart play by the agent, just to say, in case he ends up being a guy, he didn't have one save last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't have one. So I think it's just, in case you go to him, I want him to be paid like a closer. Because the Diamondbacks don't have a closer right now. Like, we think it's going to be Archie.
Right.
But Rondon is a guy in the past, you know, saved 29 games for Chicago 1 year, 30 another year, 18. So over a 3-year period, he had 77 saves. So just in case he gets back to doing that, because he has experience doing that, well, then he'll get paid accordingly. I think that that's just protection from the agent.
You're likely right. But I think it also reflects the agent's belief Look at the Arizona Diamondbacks' history from the last 2 or 3 years, right? They've had Archie Bradley in their bullpen. Now, last year was different because they used him as the closer, and he was successful as the closer. But even Troy Lovello in the winter meetings, December 11th, kind of left the door open possibly for something different.
I'd like to have a closer in place by the end of spring training for the simple reasons that everybody kind of falls in behind them and the roles are set up and established. And over the past 3 years, we had the traditional closer that wanted to pitch the last inning and he was going to be effective for those last three outs. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. I think we might ask somebody to get four outs from time to time, and I like that part of Archie. He's able to go one plus, so I will say that it's a nice starting point for me, knowing that he closed out, I think, 19 games last year, and he got a little taste of that and enjoyed it. It's a good starting point for me right now, but we're going to bring some guys in, and some guys are going to be coming back that we want to create some competition, and that's what it's all about for me in spring training. I think I want to watch guys go out and perform, but whoever gets it is going to have to earn it.
So the agent, sensing that Rondon might be there to create competition for Archie Bradley, insists on the clause to make sure that if his guy wins the job,
he gets paid,
he's
like
compensated accordingly,
yeah,
at least next year.
He gets
right?
more money. Yeah.
I mean, and again, it only increases, according to Heyman's tweet, it only increases his salary for next year in terms of games finished. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting clause that was put in there. The other interesting thing about this, and again, I'll just circle back to this real quick. This is what the Diamondbacks have done every single year for the last four under Mike Hazen. Towards the end of the offseason, right? Whether it's Rodney, whether it's Boxberger, whether it's Holland or now Rondon, this is the path they've chosen, right? Finding their closer. So to look at it and just dismiss it and say, oh, no, I'm sure it's going to be Archie this time. I don't know. It's kind of the history of the organization. Number two, and I'm going to give Zach Buchanan credit for pointing this out on his Twitter feed, this kind of fills up the Diamondbacks' bullpen, all right? And by doing so, you assume Bumgarner in the rotation, obviously, Ray in the rotation, assuming he's on the team, Luke Weaver in the rotation, and Mike Leake in the rotation, right? They're your veteran guys. That takes Zach Gallen or Merrill Kelly, and with no bullpen spot for them to land in if they don't make the rotation, maybe one of those guys doesn't make the Major League roster.
There's no way Gallen doesn't make the Major League roster. He, with what he did last year, I mean, he very well could be, you know, and we don't know what's going to happen with Ray yet, but if you assume Ray's going to stay, you're right. You've got Bumgarner, you've got Ray, you've got Weaver, you've got Gallen, and then you have Leake. I think that's the way it starts. And, I mean, listen, I mean, they're not paying Mike Leake a whole lot of money. He could be an insurance policy for them, too. Or they could cut, like, if he's not getting the job, the guys are better, they can cut him outright. It's not like, oh, my God, you're tied to Mike Leake. It's not like you're paying him a fortune. I mean, Seattle's even paying some of that money with Mike Leake. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, like, they have options. If guys are better than Mike Leake, well, then pitch them.
I'm just saying it just brings up the possibility that one of those two young guys is not in the rotation. Yeah, and I would agree with you about Zach Gallen. I have an impossible time thinking Zach Gallen's not going to be in the rotation next year.
Listen, he might be their second or third best pitcher.
But between Andrees, Bradley, Chafin, Ginkle, Guerra, Yoan Lopez, Hector Rondon, and then Crichton or Duplantier. Now, maybe one of those two guys don't make it. But the Diamondbacks bullpen would appear to be pretty full at this point and not a landing spot for a starter who doesn't get the gig. Again, unless one of those guys doesn't break. There's a lot of I's that need to be dotted and a lot of T's that need to be crossed before that happens. But it is an interesting kind of byproduct of the move.
Yeah, and listen, here's the other thing. I mean, you get a bullpen arm like that. He's 31 years old. He'll be 32 next month. I mean, if your team's out of it, come trade deadline. These guys, we've seen it with Brad Ziegler. We've seen it with other guys that they've had. Teams are always looking for relief pitching. They're always looking for relief pitching come playoff time. So you could always turn around and trade him if the team's not doing well and he's pitching well and get something for him.
Barrett Jackson, the world's greatest collector car auction returns to Westworld of Scottsdale Saturday through January 19th, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Your shot at a pair of VIP passes as well. To enter, head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com right now. Phoenix Suns, only two games out of the eighth seed in the West. Oh, goodness, if only that told the whole story about the Phoenix Suns, because they're actually closer to the top pick in the draft than they are to a playoff spot. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.